morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about the crucial political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the challenges facing everyone. Good morning, folks. Welcome to Democratic Perspective. Sitting across from me is...
He is. Mike Cosentino is right here in the flesh.
And I think I'm Steve Williamson, but, you know...
I
have to look at Mike carefully to...
We have to go to the broadcaster's handbook and say, what are we supposed to do now?
We keep having these Republicans on the show.
No kidding.
I think we ought to change it to Republican perspectives or something.
We're going to call new perspective for...
The thing that I run into is an awful lot of Republicans have become Democrats or independents. And I don't see it emerging statistically. I don't see any pattern out there of anybody talking about it. But maybe because they talk to me, I've just been running into a bunch of them. So I'm not sure, you know, how the parties play out now.
Well, I think if you ask them, and we're going to get to ask one in a minute, we have Chip Davis here. Arlo Davis is here. I like to tease him about his first name. Arlo Gene Davis. A.G. Davis is right here in our newsroom, news studio this morning, former Yavapai County supervisor.
And longest Yavapai County consecutive serving supervisor in the history of Yavapai County.
Yeah, I always say Yavapai County started disliking government long before it became cool with the rest of the country. And so supervisors didn't last long. But as you just mentioned, that there were things about Mr. Davis here that appealed to both sides and was able to extend his career with the county for a long time.
And we did say
sooner or later we're going to let him talk, right?
Yeah, we are going to let him say a few words. But I was going to say before the show, we were talking about the fact that Chip, and we're going to let him talk in just one second, had broad support all the way from Democrats all the way through Republicans and independents.
And he's working for a guy that has that same. So the marriage, if you will, between Chip Davis and Tom O'Halloran, who did get elected to the federal House, is a good one. You talk about two guys that probably had similar politics, at least enough to walk that line between in Yavapai County, at least this part of Yavapai County.
And last week we interviewed Randy Garrison, who is Chip's replacement, I guess, as supervisor.
Oh, yeah.
But let's let Chip say a few words, Mike. Go ahead and ask him some questions.
Good morning, Chip Davis. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing really well, and I certainly appreciate the opportunity to hang out and meet with you all this morning.
Yeah, we want to find. I remember, of course, we go way back. Chip and I, back to the bus barn days, if you really want to go back that far. But I have to admit, as a print reporter, which I was at some point in my life, that Chip was always a good interview. He was always available. Gave me his cell phone number right away, and I was just shocked at that. He made himself real accessible. And Chuck Garrison, by the way, was the same kind of interview. You weren't always necessarily, you fed me what you thought I should have.
But that was certainly his reputation here in Sedona from people on city council and stuff that dealt with you was your accessibility, your approachability, your willingness to listen to people. I mean, that was, I think, one reason for your popularity, reason that you were able to survive and flourish as a supervisor for so long. I mean, it really was, 15 years or so?
20 years.
Jeez.
Well, let's round it off.
Wow. Four-year terms.
Four-year terms. Wow. Very well done. We do want to talk about, in case people don't know it, that you're like a fourth, fifth-generation Arizonan. You're one of those rare breeds.
Yes, fourth generation on both my mother and my father's side.
Yeah, you got to talk into the microphone. And you still, they're still ranching? Or are they up in years now? They're
both.
Oh, okay.
They are getting up there. My mom's in her 80s, and my dad will be 90 in September.
Oh.
But they're still running the ranch. Just spoke with them yesterday. Creeks are all running, and
that's good.
Hard to get to town right now.
Where's their spread?
Wagner, Arizona, which is south of Prescott, about 45 miles.
All right.
18 miles from the highway to get to our place.
Wow. All right, well,
the creeks are so high that I cut down some of my hiking trails. I get tired of wading through icy water to complete a hike. We asked Randy Garrison about being a supervisor, and he said one of the things he encountered was so much demand for the county to do things and less resources than he needed to do it, to build roads and stuff. People come to him and say, we need a road here or there. And he said the county has real limitations in terms of its economics. And did you encounter that kind of situation?
We did, but the nice part about more localized government is that you can forge partnerships. And so we did forge partnerships with state programs, federal programs, and even local programs. And so although we encountered a lot of problems, you still have a lot of flexibility and be creative to figure out a way to solve the problems.
The cool thing about both these guys, if we're going to make that comparison, Randy Garrison, which we had last week, and Chip Davis, which we have today, these two longtime Arizona families and their sons stepped up for public service. And turned out to be pretty good public servants, and that's kind of it's a good. I think it's a really good thing for a community when it does that. I don't want to do campaign speeches for Chip Davis today, especially on a show called Democrat Perspective. But we are at least acknowledging that we have these two, letting the world know. They have these two longtime family guys who have stepped up and are doing a decent job in public service. Tom O'Halloran, who is his new boss, and I remember when I first heard about Tom and talked about that, I said, you could not have constructed a better representative, because he was a Republican. And he was a Republican. Even though he wasn't like a Republican who was a Republican because, well, you had to be a Republican to get elected. He was a Republican, except on the environment and education, two of the things that people in this area, certainly Sedonians, cared deeply about. And I said, well, and that's when he was a state senator and a representative down there. So I think both of these guys wouldn't say, but we're going to say for them, O'Halloran and Davis anyway, that the party moved away from them in many ways. So Tom O'Halloran is now serving in as a Democrat, and Chip Davis is working for him. What do you do? What's your title?
Deputy District Director for Congressman O'Halloran.
There you go.
So it's a huge district, right? I think most people have heard our radio show know that it's a huge district. Where are you stationed, essentially? Are you moving around the district, or are you mostly?
I am. I work for the northern part of the district. The district in total is 58,000 square miles. It's the 10th largest district in the country. It's the second largest district that's not an entire state, because some of our states are small enough in population that the entire state encompasses a district. We've got 12 of the 15 counties that we either take in all or part of. We've got 12 different Native American tribes. We've got the largest Native American tribe district in the country. So, therefore, it's quite overwhelming, and so what the congressman did was kind of split up responsibilities. There's a Southern Arizona group that serves basically from the White Mountain Apache south down to about Safford, and then there's our Northern Arizona piece. I have an office in Flagstaff, but the majority of the time is spent behind the wheel or on the phone, trying to reach out. My responsibility is to work with governments and economic development and businesses. And so that's a pretty gratifying piece, because I know a lot of the folks in government in Northern Arizona. And so it's been nice to rekindle those friendships and find out what their issues are and how the congressman can help them.
So how does this work exactly, Chip? You actually drop in, say, at a tribal office or a mayor's office and talk to the people? Do you call them on the phone? Do you how do you gather information about what people in the district are concerned about, public officials?
All of the above. We attend regional meetings, Northern Arizona meetings, statewide meetings, kind of keep our ear to the ground of what folks are talking about. And then as we encounter issues, get with them individually to see, you know, what exactly are the details of their issues that they're facing that may have a federal influence. And then, you know, start putting the right people together to figure out how to solve those problems and what resources we can bring to the table to help.
So I'm a mayor of a small town, for example, and if I have some issues, what kind of issues can you guys help me with in Congress? Can you help me get funds for my roads or help me coordinate with other places? Maybe I don't have time to go around to all the other little towns.
So the easiest avenue right there is, you know, Arizona, especially Northern Arizona, where our communities are encompassed by United States Forest Service, BLM lands, and what we can first off do is try to facilitate and bring in the federal agency and the local mayor or council members or citizens and sit and talk about the issue or the problems the folks are encountering, and then try to understand why the federal government isn't being a little more responsive. And so that's generally the first take on it. I'm on a very steep learning curve, learning how to engage with the federal government. I think I had county down, and it was pretty effective, but I'm still on the learning curve of how do you engage effectively, efficiently, and make things happen with the federal government. So,
is a Navajo tribe in your district? Hmm? Navajo tribe?
Yes, it is. And one of our largest issues is dealing with the Navajo generating station. And
that was where I was going, exactly.
What is going to happen with that? Is it going to continue beyond 2019? There's negotiations taking place on that there's a lot of stakeholders involved.
Well, that's true.
And so one of the components the congressman wanted was two-pronged effect. One is what is going to happen with the length of the generating station? Second of all is we know that train is coming, so what can we do to engage with Page, the Navajo Nation, the Hopi Nation, to create other economic development opportunities for folks that'll lose their jobs? And you know, I'll be honest with you, one of the greatest challenges is the jobs at the Navajo Generating Station and at the Kayenta Mine are very high-paying jobs.
That's right.
And so, you know, as we look towards economic development issues and possible solutions, finding solutions that have that type of a salary structure are a challenge in what we're trying to chase down.
Well, that, and I mean, as you say, the Navajo Generating Station, Salt River Projects, whether you love it or hate it, that coal-fired plant provided a lot of money in the community, a lot of jobs, a lot of money for education. They had a rule, 35% of their employees had to be Navajo.
I've run in and talked with Navajo coal miners. I also visited a ranch, and it was a striking situation, Chip, because the electrical poles ran right out to their ranch, the poles that provide electricity, but they had never been connected up. They had no electricity on their ranch at all. But it was, I mean, for me as a white guy, going out there and seeing the poles there but no electricity must have been really infuriating. It would be worse than not ever bringing a line out there. But to bring a line out to their place and not connect it up, pretty much of a shock about their situation.
Yeah, I don't want to be an apologist for Salt River Project and why that wouldn't happen, other than that electricity was going someplace else and it was paid for and that was the delivery system. But the economic development part piece that you have is going to be extremely. I heard on NPR that one-third of the tribes, of the Navajo tribes, operating funds came from the lease payments of the Salt River Project. So not only do you have, I mean, I don't want to be the total gloom and doom guy either, but I guess I am. not only are you losing the high-paying jobs at the mine, at the generating station itself, you're losing the lease payments that sustain the tribe. And so a big change is coming for that part of your district, or Tom's district, I should say, in the next few years.
So what do you do in that situation? You're in the basically in listening mode and learning mode, trying to listen to everybody and trying to learn exactly what the issues are and what can be done at the federal level, where you used to be and you spent 20 years thinking about what could be done on the county level. Very mm-hmm. practical. I think Chip Davis has a reputation of doing things in a very practical way, right? I mean, you know, trying to solve problems and not being ideological. But there's a lot less ideology at the local level anyway, isn't there? I mean, you know, that many of the city governments people run as nonpartisans and so forth and so on. You held a partisan position as a Republican supervisor for 20 years, so you must have done something right. What was it, Chip?
It's loving what you do. I mean, any career that a person engages in, if they find sincere, true enjoyment in it, then it's pretty easy to do. And for me, we never approached issues on a county level based upon what party a person belonged to or what party that a community may lean towards. You know, if something was right, it was right. If it was wrong, it was wrong. And we tried to fix things that were wrong and encourage things that were right. And just working with folks and not trying to lord over them, but try to work with them. And I think that was the key to success. But, you know, we built community parks, and I like to use that example because we never came into a community and said, okay, we're the government, we're going to build this park, get out of our way. What we did was wait until the citizens had a desire for a park and expressed that to us, and then we said, okay, we're going to partner with you and we're going to help you, the citizens, build a park. And so consequently, we became a facilitator, but the citizens were the drivers. And the outcome of that was that the citizens felt that was their park. I mean, they policed it, they monitored it, they helped keep it clean, they have volunteers days to do improvements. And so, I mean, that's, you know, I think the best role of government is to help people accomplish things, but not do everything.
So what about, I want to talk a little bit about, before we talk about a few other things, let's talk about the election again. You switched from District 3 to what district was that?
District 1, right?
Well, no, I was still Yavapai County District 3, but when they did redistricting in 2010, they changed Yavapai County, which was essentially District 1.
They cut it up different.
And they essentially cut off the Verde Valley. And my wife and I live on the foothills of Mingus Mountain. And the district, oddly enough, came over Mingus Mountain. And this is a true story, went to a power line. And a power line became the boundary that determined what was District 1 and District 4 over here. And so, consequently, my strong suit was the Verde Valley, which was District 4, which was 98% of the Verde Valley, mm-hmm. but I was lucky enough to live in the place where I had 2% of the Verde Valley voters, and the rest was Cave Creek, Anthem, Carefree, and Prescott, and all of the Prescott-encompassing areas. And I had my hat handed to me in that race.
So you lived in that district. That's why you...
I still
right
do.
Right on the edge of it,
mm-hmm.
right?
I still do.
And that's why you chose that district, because, you know, your popularity in the Verde Valley is very great, and you ran in a non-Verde Valley district, so mm-hmm. people probably just didn't know you over there, or did they? Or...
Well, you know, our family has been in Yavapai County for, you know, 140 years, so... I felt we had enough family and friends and acquaintances and work people that we could pull that off. But we really, really sincerely ran as hard as we could and put everything we had into it. And you wouldn't believe how many Verde Valley friends helped, although they couldn't vote. We raised a good amount of funds for a legislative race. I think maybe this.
So were you satisfied with the race?
Well, I came out with the conclusion that after I licked my wounds for several months that sometimes God has a different plan for you, and you may think you know what the plan is, but God has a different one.
There you go.
And reflecting back, being in Phoenix for 100 days out of the year, living in Phoenix from January to May, and being surrounded by 89 other Arizona state legislative members might have been just a little bit frustrating. And so consequently, the offer from Congressman O'Halloran's office to still be able to be engaged and still be able to help people and to still be able to do good things was a welcome. Speaking of offers,
Steve Segner over at Al Portal makes you a great offer every morning for breakfast. He also makes people that come by a great offer staying at this really cool boutique hotel.
It's dog friendly.
It's just all around friendly.
And he supports our program, which we much appreciate.
You know, I'd be doing this even if he didn't write a check every month. Actually, I probably wouldn't, but I would. Steve El Portal, right over there by the Tlaquepaque, right off the parking lot, right between Los Abrigados and Tlaquepaque. Come on over and visit. Chances are you can stumble over us having breakfast there.
Yeah, join us for breakfast every Monday morning. We're pretty much there. If we're not there, you'll still end up with a good breakfast. El Portal wants to encourage discussions and different points of view, and that's why they support our program. And it's called Democratic Perspective. That's Democratic with a small D. And we probably should have called it Perspectives because we don't have just one perspective, right, Mike?
There is absolutely. I have five perspectives a minute in many cases. We might even have Chip Davis there this morning. You can come over and say hello to him.
We actually talk to Republicans, you know.
We actually talk to Republicans. Well, the ones that talk to us that don't call us names.
Those guys we don't talk to.
I was at Cactus Cates the other day. It got a little dicey in there. But politics ain't what it used to be, folks. I'll tell you right now. Getting back to
Cactus Gates is another supporter.
Cactus Kate is another supporter. That's right. We can throw. Yeah, she's all right, and she listens. She goes over the show with me more so than my mom would. I mean, she goes over every point that she agrees with and what she disagrees with. By the way, so there are those people out there, and thank goodness they are, and thank God one of them is Kate Wood. I don't think anybody knows her last name. Her last name really isn't Kate Cactus. Are you going to run again, Tom? Let's get back to, Tom. Are we going to run
again? His name is Chip.
Chip.
Arlo,
are you going to run again? I know you're into a new job, and you probably shouldn't say, but, you know, we like this kind of stuff. You still got the juice? You're going to do it?
No, I think I've had my day in the sun and
20 years.
And, you know, we all have different seasons of life, and I would like to help Congressman get some things accomplished and get up and going, and but I think my responsibility to my parents of getting back to the ranch is forthcoming, and I'm happy to help anybody, and this has really been exciting so far. I'm just a little over 2 months into the job, but being a staff member versus the elected official is it's kind of nice sitting in the back of the room watching the show instead of being the show.
I remember moving from owning my own business to being an employee, which is supposed to be a terrible thing, but it was a real relief. I suddenly no longer had to worry about the bottom line as much. I did my job, and that was that. So that's kind of a nice situation not to have to run it for office every few years. And
just to be clear, Tom O'Halloran took over
Kirkpatrick's
seat. I knew what I was going to say. at the for district.
And he hired this darn Republican to manage the
congressional district,
northern district. Are you still Republican, independent, or
Republican?
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Well,
and you were hired by a Democratic congressman.
That happens a lot with Democrats. Doesn't happen a lot with Republicans.
Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, if you look at Tom's history, Congressman O'Halloran's history, in the Arizona legislature, both as a representative and a senator, he kind of ran with that philosophy. If it was a good idea, it was a good idea. If it was a bad idea, it was a bad idea, irregardless of party. And he has that same philosophy now going into Congress that our country needs to get moving forward and get out of the partisan battles that go on.
Very true. One of the things that, when I talked to Tom in the past, and I'm going to check it out with you right now, he felt that with all the things that, all the ideas that he had, that the federal seat was a place to do that, where he could affect some of the changes in education and the environment especially. Now, we realize he's one of 435, but at the time, through the ability of staffers and through his ability to convince others of the clarity of his vision and his goals, that that he could get some things done. Does he feel the same?
Yes. He's very positive and still works across the aisle. We speak just about every week of how it's going with the other Arizona congressional members, and he stays in constant contact, and the conversation goes back to what's good for Arizona. Let's take away the fact that he may be a Democrat and he may work with Republicans. That he tries to guide the conversation is it good for our folks? Is it good for the state of Arizona or our country? And, you know, again, he's been in it 2 months, but it's that philosophy, I think, that hopefully is going to turn our country around, make us a little more effective and efficient.
And I think one thing Ann would say is that, unfortunately or fortunately, when you become a new congressman, once again, the learning curve is, just by the nature of the office, is steep. And the committee's work and the who you have to talk to and who's going to talk to you, all of that takes certainly months, if not years.
The reason I've never supported term limits is because it takes so long to learn these jobs. And if you learn a job, and the next thing you can't do it anymore, and somebody new has to relearn it all over again, there is a downside, folks, to having term limits
and
stuff.
That's the biggest problem with term limits.
You need to build up experience. What do you see coming down the line, Chip? What's an issue do you think Tom is going to be working on that you're going to be working on for our district? It's only been 2 months, I should say. So,
but most immediate future is the Navajo Generating Station and the community of Page and the Navajo and Hopi Nation economic outlook. Also, too, one of his assignments is agriculture. So they'll be reviewing the Farm Bill in 2018, and we hope to find out how the Farm Bill can more efficiently affect Arizona ranchers and farmers. You know, those farm bills were largely created for the Midwest.
Yes, absolutely.
Large farms.
Yes.
And had little application to desert farms or ranches with, you know, takes many acres to raise a cow. And
when you go to the Midwest, where I'm from, or from Oklahoma, what you see is basically abandoned farmhouses and foreman's farmhouses everywhere, and the farms have gotten larger and larger. Mm-hmm. If Silent Gary was here, he could tell us exactly how large. But
he could fill the rest of the show.
You know, with how large the farms have gotten, because he was raised on a farm in Iowa. He's seen it firsthand. But I think you're right. I think that's where all the input about the Farm Bill comes from. And so the committees that Tom O'Halloran is on affects what you do in terms of what he's interested in and what you're gathering information and stuff about.
No, I wouldn't say that. I would say he has an interest in any way that a federal issue is affecting a citizen, whether it be a small issue or a large issue, what I believe is that the committees that he's on gives him probably a little more ability to affect change, to encourage people to try to create solutions. So, for instance, Agriculture Committee, which is also over the U.S. Department of Agriculture, which is over the U.S. Forest Service, that's a good committee because, again, we have so many different national forests in this district, and our communities are surrounded by forests as Sedona and Flagstaff and Cottonwood and Camp Verde and, you know, Sholo and Pine Top Lakeside, and we're all surrounded by Forest Service, and consequently, as that being our immediate neighbor, we all have issues, some be it different, you know, it may be a park issue or a road issue, but with him being on the Department of Agriculture, hopefully that gives us a little better ear when we talk to folks within the agriculture world to help make good, positive changes.
There's still a lot of agriculture, especially when it comes to ranching in the Verde Valley, and a good thing. It seems to be settling down, this marriage of town, if you want to call it, not that many cities, but whatever you want to call it, towns and cities, and ag and ranches. Seem, you know, there is that great interface when a perfectly balanced where you can buy organic beef, or and you can buy Hauser corn and all that good stuff, and still have the population centers that can maybe have some better paying jobs and that kind of thing.
And Sedona's economy is based on tourism, and the tourism is almost entirely in the national forest that surrounds the town. I mean, I've hiked all over the United States. Sedona has the best, most complex, most varied hiking I've ever seen of any place, the most accessible hiking. I mean, it's literally you're 5 minutes on your road, you're at the edge of a beautiful trail. And so that's a lot of our economy. I mean, we have the film festival here. We had mountain biking festival this last week. I mean, that forest is really the sustainable use of it is really what keeps Sedona economy going. Nobody would come here for our stores, which are great, but they're not any different than a great store anywhere else. They're here because of the beauty of the place.
Yeah, the natural beauty, which is maintained with the forests and the parks. But I want to put them on the spot. What about where is the National Monument now? You know, there's still plenty of Sedonans talking about it. I don't know how Chip Davis or Tom O'Halloran feel about where are they on the National Monument?
As my understanding, the national monument issue is off the table for the Sedona area. I mean, I don't even believe it's on the radar screen anymore.
Right.
I personally haven't talked to the congressman about that one.
Okay.
But it's not on the radar screen.
Right, because of the change in the White House.
And I believe Obama did pass, is it Bear?
Yeah. Bears is a beautiful area up in Utah. I've hiked in around there. It's a great national monument. He's done it with the Navajo folks and the Utes and several other tribes. And they're giving them, it's an interesting, not experiment, but interesting new idea of allowing the tribes to have a greater role in a national monument. And so they will have direct input from the tribes about how it should be run. It's a sacred area for Navajo and Ute folks. It's a place that you make a pilgrimage to and do ceremonies and stuff. So for them, it is beyond the sort of beautiful place that we see when we look at it.
Well, that was, and certainly a national monument status is one of the ways of preserving the reason you talk about, the reason we have tourism here is because of the natural beauty, and one of the ways to preserve that is through the Forest Service, and National Monument was one way. If it's gone, what are the other ways of making the natural beauty and protecting the area of Sedona and the Verde Valley where you, from development, at least from where you don't want development.
Well, clearly those of us who live here see that the Forest Service in our area doesn't have enough money to do its job as it really should be done. Thanks to all the volunteers and stuff.
Part B of the question.
Yeah, but that would be my take on it. So I think Sedona's big issue, and for many of them, is keeping the beauty of the area sustainable and not degraded in any way.
And how can you do that?
That's where our lifeblood is.
The question is, what else can we do? What else can Tom and Chip do?
Well, again, I'll go back to, I think the key is with your district ranger, the relationship with the communities, with the United States Forest Service, and their ability to understand the desires of the community and to manage it in the direction that the community wants to go.
Well, and that's true, but what if there's economic pressure? What if they want to do 4,800 condos, out here on Forest Service land, and they got a nice trade. They'll trade you someplace in the Grand Tetons for...
Well, I think Sedona's wrestled with that issue for the last more than 20 years. What was it, Amendment 12?
Yeah,
it's been going on. I arrived here in, 2003, and it seemed like it had been going on for decades.
Mm-hmm.
The impression of a new arrival in 2003 was like, this is a long discussion they're having here.
Well, yeah, I mean, you would hope that there would be communication between the local forest supervisors and the government officials.
What's the most surprising thing, Chip, to sort of change the subject, that you've learned in just 2 months of going around and talking to people and finding your footing in this new job? Anything really surprise you, or is it you knew an awful lot about things beforehand about the district or most of the district?
I'll walk cautiously here, but I think the most surprising thing is the folks that we may encounter that says the federal government needs to get out of my business. And, oh, by the way, can you find me several million dollars to give me?
Well, and that, we see that all the time, a basic, complete misunderstanding of government. You see a guy that hates the government, and five checks are coming into his house from the federal government, at least from the government. State.
Well, without the regulations, they wouldn't even be able to get the business going. My brother was in banking. He said he spent his whole career lobbying occasionally in Washington. They always wanted more regulation, not less, because they're looking for favorable things, favorable economic environment. And free-for-all can be wonderful, but they can also leave everybody.
We are talking to Arlo Jean, Chip Davis, former Yavapai County Supervisor.
20 year supervisor.
He is now deputy district director for Tom O'Halloran, District 1 representative in the U.S. House. We're going to get back to that in a minute, but we're going to make a crapload of announcements here. Dory Breakfast, March 16th. One of our sponsors is Democrats at Red Rocks. They have a breakfast on March 16th. They're hosting Doug Ballard. He's going to talk about the Democratic National Committee. A lot of activity there in the last couple of weeks. They elected a new chair. We have the Women's March Sedona, incredibly successful local political.
They're going to be on the show next
group.
Week.
Going to be on the show next week on March 8th at 2 p.m. at the Java Love Cafe. They got a thing going on. If you wanted to get involved with the Women's March Sedona, you can go to the website. They are having a thing on March 8th. You can find out more about it. At 2 p.m. March 8th at the Java Love Cafe. St. Patrick's Day, we have the LGBTQ parade at 9 a.m. That's March 11th. We're celebrating St. Patrick's Day on March 11th in Sedona. Or at least this parade is 9 a.m. at the park, the Jordan Historical Park. Once again, event of St. Patrick's Day, the LGBTQ parade, Pride Parade, at 9 a.m.
Prior to St. Patrick's Day.
Prior to St. Patrick's Day parade, Jonathan at the Jordan Homestead park.
Being part of Irish, I'd have St. Patrick's Day parades all year. You know, I got no complaints.
There's another group forming, and that I missed a meeting of the Keeping Sedona Together. This deals with immigration.
It does.
And Sunday, March 12th at 9 a.m. Sunday, March 12th at 9 a.m. at the Posse Grounds Rec Center. Keeping Sedona Together deals with immigration. And you can imagine, if you want to know more about that, I would show up to the meeting.
It's a statewide movement, maybe national movement, to try to keep communities together and focus on immigration and the rules and what's happening there. And this is the Sedona chapter. It's brand new. A lot of great people involved. I've met many of them.
Yeah, the heartbreak, I can't call it anything else, dividing families, that's no longer a concern of this administration. They happily divide families. A lot of the people at this meeting or in this group, at least some of them, that's a huge concern that the deportations and the separation is no longer family-centered. And
Sedona business community has 400 unfilled jobs in probably not the most exciting high paying part, but there is a need for employment here. So if you're listening from over in Prescott, you can go over to Sedona and find a job.
Well, you know, all work is honorable, and high pay, low pay, it's all good, and when you need it, it's really good.
So let's ask Chip, what do you see yourself doing over the next 2 years? Because Tom has to run for re-election again, right? And I think he's probably going to win it. But so what do you see yourself doing? Where are you going in your job? And I know that's a big question, but
I'm reaching out to the communities within the district, the elected officials, and the economic development folks and business folks, and learning what issues are out there and then how I might be able to affect positive change for that. I do enjoy being a staff member, and that my assignment is not so much political but result oriented. So, you know, that's kind of nice. I don't go in for political reasons. I go in because we need to solve a problem and be innovative and try to find solutions.
You are in a unique position to help Congressman O'Halloran because of your long service here. And like you alluded to at the top of the show, the people that you know, the governments that you're familiar with, and the closing of the generating station isn't only going to affect Native Americans, as you've alluded to, it's going to affect the town of Page.
Mm-hmm.
Our
last number on that was the total number of jobs affected was 3,100 for that very northern part of Arizona from Page to the Navajo to the Hopi. And that has to do with about 800, 900 direct jobs, direct employment, and then the offshoot of that. You know, if those families have to move out and pack up and leave the area,
right,
you know, then the grocery stores are affected and the car dealership and,
yep,
you know, the clothing
store. We were talking with Chip Davis, longtime supervisor, now working for Tom O'Halloran in Congress. If you have any kind of problem at all, just call Chip.
That's right. Hey,
that's right.
And,
you know,
need a few bucks, give him a call.
Your love life not working out for you,
give him a call.
Give the congressman's representative a call.
And if you want to check anything out on this show, you can listen to our podcasts at vvid.org. All of our shows are in the permanent record on the internet at vvid.org. You can stream us live on TuneIn, and you can catch us at 8:15. You can catch us at 12:15 on Saturday. If you miss us today, you can catch a rebroadcast of this show at 12:15 on Saturday right after the news. Thanks, folks. vvid.org is our website.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and our nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 a.m. news and our Saturday replay after the noon news right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.